This is Jim Rockford. At the tone, leave your name and message. I'll get back to you.
You are full of bullshit, my friend. I will sue you for everything you have. I will sue your ass.
The topic this week is the future of Memorial Stadium. Does it turn into a party zone, as Tom Chattel wrote in the World Herald yesterday? Tom brought up the very the idea that some people might they might feel a little antsy about, which is making Memorial Stadium a little bit more like the CHI Health Center. Tom, with that, we welcome you in. Good afternoon.
Yeah, so you're going to spare me talking about Nebraska basketball, right?
Yeah, well, no guarantees.
Okay.
You know,
I'll talk about anything. Let's go.
Well, you brought it up in your column yesterday, in kind of, this has been the topic over the last couple of weeks, the future of Memorial Stadium. What do you think we're looking at here? It really sounds, we were talking about this a little bit earlier. It feels like Trev is really listening. He puts out the survey, and that stuff is necessary, at least from what they're going to get back.
Well, it was as I read through my wife's survey, and I got her permission to do it. it became obvious to me in a hurry that Trev is going to turn the stadium into a revenue producer, even more so than they ever have. So, that started with Bill Byrne, and over the years they've done this and that to the seats, and they've added skyboxes and clubs and so on and so forth. But they're gonna raise the ante, so to speak. They're gonna. You know, turn every seat they can into a revenue producer. That's the take that I got from that. But it's all in the name of taking care of the fan, the Nebraska football fan. How can they make the experience better for you? Well, today's fan, whether they know it or not, they want more. They expect more. I remember all those College World Series fans, you know, protested and didn't want the stadium, and what we got was fine. And how do we ever live without this? You know, they didn't even know what they wanted, but the NCAA knew. And that's where things were going, and I can't tell you how many laps my daughters have done at World Series games, just going round and round in circles around the concourse. With their phones, with their friends. There's a game going on. And that's kind of where it's going. Now, Nebraska football, obviously, is a different animal. People are there to pay attention and put their binoculars on the right guard and make sure, you know, that all the techniques are right and all that stuff. But, Connor, Nebraskans love to hang out. If one thing I've understood about Nebraskans over the years, whether it's Omaha Racers games or hockey or the Creighton basketball, or people love to hang out, and they love to hang out with a beer in their hand and talk and socialize and maybe watch the game. And that isn't everybody. But there's a growing segment of that, and I think that's what they need to tap into. That's what makes the Creighton games, that's what makes them work. Now, obviously, they win. They've got blue-collar guys. It isn't about the beer. I don't want to get that started. But it is a big factor. I mean, it's a factor in those games. They have won. They do win a lot, and when you add the party into it, it makes it better. I just think having a place where people can kind of congregate and watch the game, it would be unique in a football stadium. You don't see many of those. But I think it'd be great. I think it'd be a way to turn one of those end zones sections into something like that.
Well, they need to cut down on capacity. if that's one of the things that happens here, that's not the worst thing in the world. At the end of this, we're probably what are we looking at in terms of capacity of the stadium? Is it we've seen some of these new major league stadiums go up and they're smaller by design. What do you think we're looking at by the end of this with Nebraska football?
Don't be bigger, be better.
Yep.
That should be the phrase. The Big Ten, Nebraska got caught up in, and I believe Nebraska in the Big 12 was one of the bigger ones. I don't remember A&M or Oklahoma, but they were one of the bigger ones. And then they got into the Big Ten and they weren't the big ones. They were, you had Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State were all over 100,000, I believe. And there was a mindset early on, boy, Nebraska, how do we catch up with all these guys? And it was the wrong move. It was the wrong direction. Especially when you're not winning, you're not going to bowl games. You're not going to sell out whether you keep adding sections. So, Nebraska, I remember, over the years, the Nebraska sellout streak, it was always 76,000. That was the number.
Yep.
For some reason, it was 76. And that's – why not go back to that number? Or it didn't have to be in the 80s. Whatever the number is, it needs to be about comfort and taking care of the fans. Be better, not bigger. And, whatever – I think they should put stadium seats in there.
Yeah.
For maybe not everybody – but certainly you're going to pay more to have a better seat. Put those between the 20s, if you want. And I think there were like five or six different options in the survey for suites and like outdoor boxes and wedge seats where you were sitting at a table. And a Husker club or Husker restaurant, a concourse club, where you'd have to join. But anybody that's ever been in the Lexus Club at a Creighton game understands the popularity and the attraction of that. Where the halftime of the Creighton games, that place is jammed.
Yep.
And then when the halftime's over, half the people stay and they watch the second half on TV because they're close to the bar. And I've always said, Nebraskans, a lot of Nebraskans aspire to be Tom Osborne, but they're actually more like Bob Devaney.
Mm.
They would love, go down to that corner bar on Friday night, play a little Keno, watch a game, have a couple pops, I really think beer being part of the stadium will not be out. It will not be out of place. It will not ruin the stadium experience. I think you can always dial it back a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think we're away from that too, Connor. I think it's going to be Haymarket first and probably Pinnacle next. That would be my guess. But you just read the survey, look at the trend and all the things, just kind of connect the dots. It's all about, would you pay this? Would you pay that? And all these places that they want to add these little things for fans all need to have alcohol. Because people, they're going to pay a price for that. They want to have beer.
I'll just give you my example and go into Creighton games. Cause I haven't been in the Lexus Club and you can't find tickets that are just out there because I don't really know anybody with season tickets. You can't find any tickets that are just out there in the lower bowl anymore, barely. And so what we do when we go to the games is buy an upper bowl ticket and then go hang out in that Bud Bar the entire game. And we see, whoever we know and that comes around, grab a spot by the railing there and just kind of post up. That's how I've known Creighton games for the last, 5 to 10 years of my life, and it's been great.
And why do you do that?
Because I enjoy the movement part of it. I don't like sitting in the cramped area in the seat the entire game, and then easy access to the beer line in the bathroom.
And you like hanging out.
Yep.
There's a big crowd of people that are talking and doing stuff, but they're watching the game too. I guarantee you, if they're coming back to beat Villanova, people are not – they're all glued to the action.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not like this is going to ruin Memorial Stadium or people will stop watching the game. Hell, what are they doing when Minnesota's up 20? They're watching the game or they're trying to, you know, what are they doing then?
Right.
So, or, you know, it's, I think it'll be fine. I really do. I think, I really think Trev is the right guy to do this because he's very mindful and very sensitive of Nebraska tradition.
Yeah.
And the fact that that stadium, it's like a church in a way. It's a place of worship on Saturdays, not Sundays. But I don't know what the word I'm searching for here is, but it's kind of sacred. And so you don't want to turn it into a bar, but people 2022 demand a different experience, and they will pay for it.
How that was kind of the next question I was going to go with there, but how does Trev, and he's in a unique position because he understands, you know, what it's been, and he also can see where it's going, and he's listening, he's putting out these surveys and things like that. How does he balance making it a moneymaker and something that works for him, and also being conscious about how people feel about it? And you know what I mean? Like, there's that certain attachment to how it's been.
Well, the interesting thing, one of the really, really interesting things in that survey was the idea that the grandfather deceased are going to go away.
Yeah.
Or it was like, well, how do you feel? The question is always couched, how would you feel if this happened? Which to me is sort of a hint that it's going to happen. And so how would you feel about that? If we're thinking about doing this, we're strongly considering doing this, how would you feel about it? And that would mean that every seat in the stadium would have a tax on it. You'd have to pay a donation or something to have that seat. And so, and maybe they wouldn't have, maybe they'd have a section in the end zone that are just bleachers where you wouldn't. But to be with the cool people and have the cool seats, maybe get that chair back or the, you know, stadium seat with the cup holder. Yeah, you're gonna pay a little bit. So I think that is gonna happen. But if they lose people, they don't want to lose people. But if the capacity has to go down somehow, so I mean, all these things are very they're very, you know, emotional and
yep.
You know, things might get heated. That's why the AD gets the big bucks. But it'll be the right thing to do eventually. Just how do you do it? But I don't know. It's going to be fascinating to watch how this works. But it's got to be done. And I think Nebraska can be ahead of the curve. But my goodness, you have to hurry, though, to be ahead of the curve.
That's true.
Because Michigan State has a partnership with Caesars Casino, it's a sports book.
Yep.
Michigan State and the old crusty Big Ten is with Caesars. So is LSU. I guarantee you, Caesars is going to get a nice stable of these college football schools. Where's that going to go? And it's only. So I'm saying this thing changes, the NIL changes by the day, almost a week almost. So, but, and I think, well, one thing I've heard, Connor, also about alcohol is, well, if you bring Bud Light or Coors Light into the stadium as one of the vendors, does that mean that they would then try to sign up some of the Huskers to as NIL partners, doing ads, that kind of thing. And yeah, I don't see that necessarily happening. So I don't think that, some people have mentioned that as kind of a concern, bringing alcohol in. But I don't know if that's a concern. I think you could probably maybe put it in the player of the player's contract on contracts or employees, but
sure, part of the rules.
You know, maybe you can make it a rule that they can't do alcohol or maybe gambling deals. But you know, good luck. But I think it's the Wild West in a way, and I think you got to be careful. But I just think, you know, look at UNO hockey. Look at
yes.
Great basketball. Look at all these things we do now. The College World Series has been.
But like,
it's like no big deal.
Here's my for a thing like Nebraska baseball, where I mean, operationally, I'm telling you, you wouldn't even notice it. Like beer and baseball goes together. You know this. Like it doesn't even make sense to have a baseball game without beer being in the, and you wouldn't. I'm telling you, you wouldn't even notice it. The place is already like it's fit for it. You can have it, and people are able to move around so much at a baseball game anyway, and that's how the stadium's built. Where I don't understand how that's not a thing already.
I really don't notice people at Creighton games or the hockey or anyone. People are not stumbling around drunk.
No,
they're not passing out on the aisle. People go to these games and have one, maybe two, at the most. Of course, you know, a lot of people can't afford to
right.
do more than that. But Nebraska football people are a lot of them are kind of loaded up when they walk in the door. So they're not going to start going out of their minds. They're going to watch the game and maybe take a break for a while. But you will have people. If they have the restaurant or the club, which I think is a great idea, people are going to hang out there, you know. And are people going to get mad about that? No, who cares? The idea is to get them in the building, because that's a big concern for a lot of ADs.
Yep. Tom Chattel of the World Herald. We'll squeeze in one Nebraska football, like actual football question, and it's very simple. After all this, they've kind of reshaped the coaching staff a little bit and now reshaped the roster a bit too. How does it feel right now? I don't think that I would have expected to feel this. I don't know if optimistic is the word, but maybe curious is the word going into spring ball. How does it feel to you right now?
Well, I spoke to a group last night, St. Vincent de Paul men's club. It was chilly night. I was speaking chilly night, and it was unbelievable again. But one of the questions I got was, okay, they just brought in Chuba, and we've already got Casey. Do these coaches not think the other quarterbacks were good enough? And I said, that's the reality of college football. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not Logan Smothers' fault that they went 3-9, but the impact of that, or the fallout, is they had to get new coaches and they want new players. So mm-hmm. they have to win next year. So it's you know, spring ball is going to be really interesting, because I think every job is going to be open. And the new coaches they brought on offense, especially, every job is going to be wide open, and the competition ought to be great. So hopefully that means, you know, no more false starts. and more guys catching passes, and more passes being thrown to the right people. How many times in the last 4 years did we see Adrian Martinez maybe, you know, make a turnover or a mistake and go, God, why is he still in there? Well, now that two guys, where one guy doesn't get it done, they can put another guy in.
Yep.
And so There's urgency, and I think we'll see that. And lo and behold, spring ball begins, I believe, February 26th or 28th.
Yeah,
it's almost like and that's one of the earlier ones ever. Almost like they can't wait to get it going.
It's a good feel. It's preferable than the bad taste in your mouth just lingering the entire offseason.
Yes. So I think it's exciting. But don't, but, you know, let me warn you, do not be too optimistic. I wrote that they, well, I had tried to do a little optimism in my Sunday column, and I got shouted down. Husker fans don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
It's a great place for a sports writer to be, where, if you know, usually we get cynical and people get mad. Now, you can't be cynical enough. People don't want to hear optimism because they don't want it. I'm tired of getting burned. I'm tired of the Kool-Aid. So it's an interesting place.
All right, Tom. I forgot to ask you last week about Tom Chattel's Press Box, which is an awesome feature. And you're now you've done two of these, right?
Yeah.
Pretty good. Tell us a little bit about it and why you're doing it.
I'm a TV guy. I get in front of the camera. I went to J school 45 years ago, whatever it was. I never thought I'd be in front of a camera, but that's where we are now. Everybody's doing video, podcasts, and it's great. It just, there's more stuff to do and more content. But for me, it's a place to tell stories and kind of give my opinions. And, you know, I've been known to ramble. I know that'll shock you. once in a while, I'll try to spit out words that don't come out, and I laugh it off, and I look in the camera, and I have a good time. And so it's a way, and I get to bring in a bunch of bobbleheads and pennants.
I was going to say, it's a good example. It's a good place to show off the bobbleheads.
It's the whole thing is a hoot. I just love it. So, if you want to laugh or you want to have some fun, you know, I give it a try and see how it works.
That's good stuff. You can check it out at the Omaha World Herald. Tom, we appreciate your time and your insight as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Cool. Thanks, sir.
Tom Chattel of the Omaha World Herald, omaha.com. Tom Chattel's Press Box video feature. It's right attached to the new column, so you can read that there as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with a little Husker basketball. Robin Washit will join. 4 years since a significant moment in recent Nebraska basketball history. 4 years. What could it be? A significant moment in Nebraska basketball history? We'll get to that with Robin. And, of course, the things that plague them now. Next on the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone.